Hello, hello. Welcome in another episode of the Patriots Podcast. I'm Sean, he's JJ.
Hello.
What's happening, guys? So we haven't been talking to you for a couple weeks now, but, you know, we just went into a little post-football season depression. Usual stuff.
Yeah, pretty much.
Nothing like losing a Super Bowl in the final minute.
Yeah.
To really tear your heart out, but we decided we were going to take our off-season programming off the queue of Brady, Tom versus Time? On Facebook, and you know they waited weeks, so we waited weeks.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. We're just entering the start of the new league year, and the fun stuff is just about to start. So free agency begins. We're recording this on Tuesday, the 13th. Free agency starts on the 14th. So we are right in the middle of the legal tampering period here, and we're gonna catch you guys up on our thoughts about what the Pats have done so far this offseason.
Here we go.
So there really hasn't been that much that happens. We got a few big name free agents, a couple of roster options that have largely been declined going into this season.
Mm-hmm.
And so I guess a couple things. Alan Branch got cut. No, obviously.
No surprise
expected
there.
That to happen.
Yeah.
The next person that was declined, Martellus Bennett, who was coming in on a $7 million cap hit this coming year. We knew he wasn't going to stick around for that number, but that actually might have had something to do with Michael Bennett not coming to the Patriots.
100%.
So yeah, there was that report that like the Patriots offered a third-round pick and the Seahawks accepted a fifth-round pick from the Eagles, and we're like, they're in the same conference. Why wouldn't you take more from somebody else?
And it was a fact that the Eagles had already said, or the Seahawks already said yes, basically.
So they screwed themselves. They didn't shop around enough.
Yeah. They didn't let it go for long enough. And yeah, imagine if we had Michael and Marty. That would have been unbelievable.
Yeah, it would have been. I'm not...
Michael Maybe Bennett a little too much.
He seems like he's a little bit of a problem, where Marty's more fun-loving, Michael's more angry. That's just the way it seems like. And I think his play's been declining. Obviously, I would have been happy to have him on the field compared with some of the other guys we could put out there. But for team chemistry purposes, which was obviously a problem last year, it's not too bad. Avoid something like that, which could be a possible.
There's something
else we were talking about. Oh, Aqib Talib, we were talking about possibly bringing him in.
Yep, that didn't happen.
Yeah, we know he's got a strong personality as well, although he was a great citizen by all accounts when he was in New England.
And he wanted to come back. But I think the kicker was there. We were offering Denver stuff, but we didn't want to keep that contract.
I think we were going to have to restructure?
Yeah, I think the Rams were fine with taking his current contract number. So
yeah, that would complicate negotiations.
Mm-hmm.
The other stuff that's going on with the Pats, was there anything else? Oh, Danny Shelton. We just picked up Danny Shelton this weekend.
Yeah, that's huge.
Dude, I was a huge fan of him when he was coming out of Washington. He's just a big, fat nose tackle. Can't be moved. He's not like Vince Wilfork. I have all this write-up on NFLDraftHead.com. You can find it. He's not like athletic the way Vince was or is, but he's just stout. He puts two hands on people, and double team isn't going to do it.
Yeah, they say he's very powerful.
He's just a consummate old school nose tackle. And I know we don't run that many 3-man fronts, but we run a lot of 5-man.
Mm-hmm.
Which we've done lately, and we saw a bunch in the playoffs when we would put three fatties on the field, and he would be perfect to be the middle fatty.
Yeah, I love
it. I'm happy about it. Now our D tackle depth chart after getting rid of Alan Branch is Danny Shelton, Malcolm Brown, Lawrence Guy, Vincent Valentine, and Adam Butler.
Yeah.
I'm very, very pleased with that.
That's definitely the highlight of our defense. And it's not too expensive either. It's pretty cheap.
We got good safety.
Yeah, they're getting old, though.
They are getting old.
I'd take the D-tackles positionally as the most solid right now.
Depending on how this trade works out, Danny Shelton and Malcolm Brown, both first-round picks 2015. So they're both entering their final year of their rookie contract, and both are available to pick up the fifth-year option next year. Don't think the Pats will pick up both fifth-year options, because then you're going to be paying these two guys like combined almost $20 million.
Mm-hmm.
So it's going to be pretty much a tryout. It's almost a challenge to Malcolm Brown. Like, I know you played well last year, but are you willing to play better than this guy did who drafted above you?
Right.
It's kind of a good kick in the ass to Malcolm.
Definitely. Well, I know we're going to get to it in a sec, so I figure I might as well mention it now. Danny Amendola has just been signed.
To who?
The Dolphins.
No.
Yeah.
No.
Yep.
No. No. Really?
Yeah.
Ah.
Agreed to term. Well, we're still within the legal tampering period, so it isn't official until tomorrow. But I think that's hilarious. That is a terrible.
That's terrible.
That's a terrible signing by them.
Why? Danny Amendola is a good player.
Danny Amendola is a good player because of Tom Brady.
No.
Yes.
I disagree. He was a good player with Sam Bradford.
That was like five or six years ago.
So there was a reason he got that contract with the Patriots, because he had proved he had was a good player.
One good year with them.
Yeah, one healthy year.
Okay, however you want to put it. Who's going to throw him the ball in Miami?
That's a good question.
Oh, Tannehill?
Should the Dolphins not worry about the receiver position because they don't have a great quarterback yet?
They got rid of Jarvis Landry and they're going to upgrade it with Danny Amendola?
I think Danny Amendola makes a quarterback better. He doesn't drop balls. He gets open. He's a good third down player. He's tough.
Can't last a season.
He did the last two seasons here.
He barely played during the regular season.
Last year.
This year, he didn't play till week 10.
What the fuck are you talking about?
He was the third receiver. We never relied on him until the week, like, way later in the season.
You, sir, are deluded.
No.
He was on the field a lot.
No, he wasn't.
A lot, and he was producing big time.
No.
I think he was our leading receiver against the Chiefs in week one. I mean, come on. You're watching a different game than we... That really hurts. I didn't want him to leave. God damn it. Why do you have to leave? Why didn't they want to bring him back?
If he left, we were trading one either Chris Hogan or Brandon Cooks or someone.
You mean if he stayed?
I mean if he stayed, I'm sorry. Someone's leaving.
That's the only consideration I can see, that they have like six guys deep on the depth chart. But one of those guys is Kenny Britt, and the odds that he makes the team, I would say, are less than 50%, right?
They picked up his option. He might have something left.
It's not guaranteed.
I know.
They're going to cut him. I think they probably cut him. But obviously, they're thinking that they could keep him. You got, what, Kenny Britt, Malcolm Mitchell, Chris Hogan, Julian Edelman, Brandon Cooks. Yeah, you add Amendola to that mix and a bit long. And maybe he thought, my odds of making this team, if everyone's healthy, aren't that high. But that hurts.
I'm surprised. They must have offered him a lot.
I don't know. Do you think over $5 million? If it's over $5 million, then I say more power to you.
It must be close to it, because what would make them steal him away?
He could have gotten, or just looked at the Patriots roster and said, man, I don't know if I'm going to make this team. And if he goes to training camp with the Pats, the odds of him sticking with another team go down precipitously versus him joining another team right now.
I don't know, man. Yeah, I don't know.
Why'd you have to say that, man? I was in a pretty good mood. Now Amendola's gone.
Well, because it was news and we had to say it.
I know, right? So that Amendola was one of our free agents this year. We also got a number of higher level free agents. Deion Lewis, from everything I'm hearing, is essentially gone.
Yeah, he's gonna get paid.
What? Good for him. Good for you, Deion. He signed an early extension with the Pats for basically no money versus what his production was. So he should get paid.
Danny Amendola played less than 50% of the snaps this year.
So?
Just saying. You can't rely on for most of the game. Most games.
He's a third down player.
That's about it.
And he's a third down and a comeback, fourth quarter comeback player. Very valuable. It's extremely valuable.
Oh, yeah. It's definitely, I wanted him back, but like, if you pay him more than $4 million,
And it's very deceptive to put a receiver like that and judge them by their snap count, because he's not in there on running down. He's just not playing first downs when running game is on the table.
All right.
He's a blocker.
So knock off 25% there. He's not on. Well.
Dude, he was a big-time player for us. And yeah, I know Edelman's coming back, and his role should be reduced as long as Edelman comes back and is the same player we expect him to be, the whole thing.
But I don't know. I have a tough time believing he's going to have a lot of success at his age. Anyways, he's gone.
Yeah, we were just thinking this legal tampering period where like you can get a handshake deal, but there was somebody recently who had a handshake deal who then reneged on it and bounced. Am I thinking of DeAndre Jordan in basketball? Is that what I'm thinking of?
I don't know.
That actually might be
what, I thought something happened last year when that happened. Like someone reported it did and it didn't.
So. I would love if this Kirk Cousins deal is actually he reneges on it and changes.
Like goes to the Jets or something.
I don't know. Maybe Arizona. I don't really want to see him in a Jets uniform. I like them sucking.
Yeah. So, Danny's gone now.
The Dolphins are doing some weird stuff. So I actually like what they're doing. They cut Lawrence Timmons, with a terrible signing to begin with. They cut Dominican Sue, which saves them a lot of money in the future, not as much this year.
Mm-hmm.
That seriously weakens their D-line. But they did trade for Robert Quinn. If he's healthy, he's a good edge player. Kind of fill that Olivier Vernon role that they weren't able to fill previously.
They traded Jarvis Landry to the fucking Browns.
the fact that they were able to franchise Jarvis Landry and then trade him for a viable asset. What, they got a third, fourth round pick?
Yeah.
I think they got a fourth round pick, which is a good pick, especially when you're picking at the very top of the round, like you're getting with a Browns pick.
Right.
I really like that trade because they sunk so much money into Kenny Stills, which was a foolish signing. And then they have Devontae Parker, who's coming up on the end of his rookie contract, and he's a pure outside receiver. Jarvis Landry, he is an overachieving slot receiver. I don't even know how to describe it. He's got the third most catches since he entered the league behind Julio Jones or Brown. It's like, yeah, except he catches the ball 2 yards down the field.
Right.
And then gets 4 yards a yak, and you're like, all right, 6 yards. Awesome, Jarvis. What do we do now? And he goes, I'm a number one receiver. Pay me like one. It's like, look, you're not.
Yeah, you're simply
a good player. He's a good player, and you got a game plan around him. You got to gang tackle him the whole deep. He's not on that level.
No.
And the Browns are going to pay him like he is.
Probably.
They have to.
Yeah.
Otherwise, he's not sticking around. They're already paying him like a number one receiver right now because he's on the franchise.
True. Absolutely.
How about the Browns? They're making moves out the yin-yang.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't mind the Browns moves. And they got the first overall pick. They could make some... They could actually be kind of decent and win a couple games.
Well, they have the first overall pick and the fourth overall.
Yeah.
So they got serious draft capital. They just traded the first pick in the third round for Tyrod Taylor, who is a fine quarterback. He's okay.
Yeah.
He brought the Bills to the playoffs. They tried to bench him. He was clearly better than any other option they had. He doesn't make mistakes very often. He doesn't make that many big plays either, but he's fine for now. Do you know he's only 28?
Really?
Yeah. He's super young.
That's pretty good. Yeah, he'll only get better then if he can stay healthy.
I think he's pretty much maxed out, but he's a good stopgap. And if you want to draft a quarterback this year, you're going to want somebody to play in front of him. Tyrod's affordable. He performs well. Seems like he's a good character guy. I don't know. I have nothing bad to say about him. It just seemed like it was a pretty high pick. 65. We get what, 43 for Garoppolo?
Yeah.
And they get 65 for Tyrod Taylor when they were going to cut him anyway. This is bullshit.
I mean, he was a 16-game starter.
Yeah.
Who almost got them to the playoffs.
Yeah, but Jimmy Garoppolo had the potential to be a franchise quarterback in Tyrod.
Yeah, maybe.
Well, we've seen him start for, what, 3 years in Buffalo?
Mm-hmm.
How much has he? Maybe a little?
Maybe a little.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, I mean, they cut all their talent 1 year, too. And that ended up being their best year, so that's a little...
Wasn't that this year?
Weird anyways, yeah.
Traded Sammy Watkins and like got rid of some other players. I can't even think of them off the top of my
head. Got rid of Hogan the year before.
Yeah.
But
they were just hamstrung with the salary cap on that.
Yeah.
Well, so yeah, the Browns get Jarvis Landry, Tyrod Taylor. They trade DeShone Kizer, which is a great move because that guy seems like he's got a bit of an airhead, a bit of a large ego despite having a winless rookie season.
Yeah.
They get him out of town, ship him to Green Bay, bring back Demaryius Randall, who was a former second-round pick, pretty good talent in the secondary. Look, the Browns need help everywhere. So the fact that they were willing to turn or able to turn a backup quarterback into a starting secondary player, solid move. Yeah, I guess that was all they were. Good for the Browns. They're turning shit around. The team that makes no sense to me, the Chiefs. We haven't been on here in a while. I don't think we've been on since Alex Smith got traded.
What
remember that?
No, yeah, I know we haven't been on since that. Crazy.
Yeah, so Alex Smith is going to be the quarterback of the Redskins. And so the Chiefs sell him. They're going to start Patrick Mahomes. They decide to pay Sammy Watkins, like Antonio Brown money, to come to their team. $16 million a year.
That's insane.
That just came through. If that turns out to be right, it's like, why the fuck would you pay him that? Didn't you say he had like 700 yards last year?
600.
600 yards. And he dropped
six TDs.
And he dropped a winning touchdown in a playoff game.
Yeah, and then he just gets... paid through the nose.
Stupid money. I get it. He's got all the talent in the world, but the guy can't stay healthy, and he's not a difference maker.
Crazy.
And then what else did they do? They traded Marcus Peters for like a fourth-round pick. They traded their best defensive player. They cut Tamba Ali. I guess you could say Justin Houston.
Still. Yeah, I don't know what they're doing over there.
They're cleaning house in like the weirdest possible way. They just cut Jeremy Maclin like last year because he was too expensive a receiver, and then you pay Sammy Watkins twice as much, who's been a worse player in the NFL than Maclin had been to that point.
Yeah. And you're going to pair him with another rookie or a first-year starter?
It's
weird and wild stuff.
I don't know how to wrap my head around it. I guess we should talk. This is the Patriots podcast. Let's talk about the Pats.
So the biggest name is Nate Solder.
That's the one.
So The only other tackle we have currently on roster, well, we have Tony Garcia, who got hurt last year, third round pick, I think. But then we have, we still have Marcus Cannon at right tackle, Ladrian Waddle and Fleming are both up. So those three guys are free agents, Nate Solder, Ladrian Waddle, and Fleming. And those are three of the top tackles on the market. So,
no, right? It is the thinnest tackle market you can imagine.
Yeah. So Solder's
basically the only starting caliber player there.
Yeah. And they're saying he's going to get paid. He's got about four or five other teams interested. They're saying upwards of $11 million a year. And based on what's happening with those receivers, it might even be higher. At the right price, he's a great player. If you're paying him like a top two tackle in the league, not so much, but it'd be, what do you think's going to happen? I mean, I hope he comes back. If he doesn't come back, we're fucked.
Maybe. It's setting up like that Devin McCourty free agency a couple years ago.
When there's just nobody else.
Or just like Hightower last year, where they send him out there and they go, see what you can get. Let us know. Let us know if you want us to match, and then we'll think about it and get back to you. It's going to be one of those things.
And we've seen it go both ways. With McCourty, we saw it. There were no other safeties out there, and he got the max deal, and we matched it. And then with Hightower, he went out there, and the market wasn't as high as he wanted, and we got a pretty fair deal for him.
Yeah, I don't know what the thing is. The market should be pretty high for
him. Mm-hmm.
He's a starting caliber player. He might not be the best tackle in the league, but he's a guy that you can pencil in to start at left tackle. And there's just not that many of those guys.
No.
Especially not that you can just give some cap space to and then you have him. You know, that's a rare thing to come by. So he's going to get paid, I would got to think, 10 to 12 million. I think Tyron Smith makes like 13 million and he's the best tackle in the league.
Yeah.
It's like he's going to be near that.
Yeah.
Because the cap's going up, what, 12 million this year?
Yeah.
Something like that?
The Patriots have the cap space to sign that.
Patriots have like 20 million in cap space, and we're like 25th in the league in cap space. Fucking everybody has room. And
which is weird.
Well, that's what happens. It just keeps going up and up. And then whatever cap space you had over from last year, you roll it over to this year.
Which right.
is endless rollover minutes, which is the dumbest thing ever. You have no incentive to use your cap space because it just rolls over to the next year. Ooh, whatever you don't use, you get to keep.
Yeah, why not?
If you didn't get to keep it, then you have some incentive to use it. Players really fucked up with that one.
Yeah.
But then it does eventually get spent on them, so who knows. But yeah, Nate Solder is going to get good money. There's plenty of teams that want left tackles. There's plenty of teams that have the money to pay for them. And so it really becomes just a matter of, are the Patriots willing to give him $11 million a year? And I don't know that they are. When he was 26 and a free agent, the last time this happened, he got a two-year extension.
Yeah.
And maybe that was his decision. Maybe they said, we only want you for 2 years. And his response to that was, okay, I'll do it, but you can't franchise tag me at the end of it. Remember that was part of his extension?
Exactly.
So
but
I don't
if
know.
If that was their plan, then why didn't they heavily invest in tackles?
They did.
They got Ladrian Waddle.
Yeah, well, they drafted Tony Garcia to be a replacement, and he got blood clots in his lungs.
Yeah.
A little bit scary. So it's hard to project him to be even on the team in the future. I don't know what his health situation is, clearly.
Yeah.
But he has all the talent in the world to be a left tackle in the NFL. I wholeheartedly believe that. I scouted him for last year's draft. He was one of my favorite players as a tackle.
Really?
Other idea. So the Patriots have the money to spend on him. I don't know if they will. That's just one of those questions. Just never know what's going on in Bill's head.
Yeah.
One weird option that I like thinking about is, could they move Marcus Cannon to left tackle? He played left tackle in college. Skarnecchia seems to be able to do anything he wants with Marcus Cannon for whatever reason.
It's possible, but I mean, Cannon has now been hurt twice out of the last 3 years. I mean, is that something you can put all your chips on and say, oh yeah, we'll be fine,
no.
And then still have to find a right tackle that's good?
Right tackle is either Waddle or Fleming, at least to start.
Waddle said he's going to test the market.
Oh, good for him. He should. He's so top-heavy. He looks like he has weak ankles. I don't know. I don't really like
Fleming actually played really well last year, too.
Fleming played well, yeah. After looking like a total bust his rookie.
Yeah.
It's the magic of Scar. They're clearly going to draft a tackle early.
Yeah. Top two or three rounds.
Yeah, unless they give Solder like a three-year, $35 million contract or something, they're going to draft. Like, if Solder leaves, the first-round pick's going to be a tackle.
Probably.
You can basically put that in the bank. I haven't looked at the tackle prospects so far this offseason, so I don't know if that's a strength in this draft. But that's always a backup option if you lose Solder.
Yeah.
To be honest, I think they lose him. I think he leaves.
You think so?
Yeah, he hasn't been an excellent tackle. He's, like I said, he's been a starting caliber left tackle.
I kind of think he's going to stay. I feel like he's the only one at this point that we're going to retain. I thought it would be him and Danny and a couple, like, you know, Slater and a couple of the other guys like that. But, yeah, I don't know. I mean, if we lost Danny, if we lose him, Lewis, I think we're going to lose because we have Gillislee and we could always get Burkhead back. We have James White.
Gillislee sucks.
Well, they have him on the books for $2.5 million, and then they draft somebody. So,
yeah, I'd rather draft somebody than bring him back. He just has one gear. He runs like he's got a magnet on his head that's attached to the other goalpost. And he just follows that shit, and that's it. It's like, make a cut, dude. Show a little patience.
And, I mean, we have room to get. I mean, you have Dwayne Allen on the books for $5 million. Zero money. Zero dead cap money if you cut him. You get $5 million back.
Yeah, I'm surprised he's still on the roster. If they need to, I wonder what the waiting period is on, like, if you inform a player he's cut, you inform the league you cut him. Do you immediately, upon that phone call, get that cap space? So if they're, like, in talks with a free agent, and they're like, oh, we need $8 million on the salary cap this year, call up Dwayne Allen. You're cut. Call up the league. He's cut. All right, we got $5 million.
Probably.
It's like, is that how it works? Is that
probably within a couple hours.
Because they could just be waiting to cut him until they need that salary cap space.
Maybe. And, I mean, I don't know why. Yeah, trade him. Get rid of him. I don't know why he's even still on the team. Maybe they're worried about Gronk's situation or something.
Explanation I can think of. Because he's not worth $5 million. Guy can't catch the ball.
No, literally can't catch the ball. You also have Shane McClellan. If you cut him, you only have about $800,000 in dead cap space. You get $2,300 back towards your cap. So, I mean, you cut them two, you're close to about $30 million in free cap.
You get $2.3 million? That's what you mean?
Yeah, $2.3.
Not $2,300.
Oh, yeah, no, I'm sorry. Jesus Christ. $2.3 million. Yeah. Between the two of them, you cut them. That's $7.5 million.
Yeah, well, close, you already got 20. We already have 20, so let's start using the 20 before we're losing players, especially a guy like Shane McClellan that's at an area of need. Let's just bring him back, see what he's got.
I don't know. Get rid of him.
The waiting game. Play the waiting game on that shit. Bring him to training camp. It doesn't cost any more money to bring him to training camp than it does to cut him right now.
Think so?
There might be workout bonuses, but that's small.
Well, change. Yeah, I don't know. So it's going to be an interesting free agency. There's a lot of stuff out there.
Yes, we just named, like, some of the biggest free agents that we have were Danny Amendola, Nate Solder, Malcolm Butler, Deion Lewis. I thought the most likely to return was Amendola. He's gone. Yeah. Nobody thinks Malcolm Butler's coming back.
No, there's no way he's coming back.
All reports say Deion Lewis is gone. So it's like, are we going to lose all of them? Are we going to re-sign anybody? And then you wonder, with the way that the chemistry was with that team and some of the ways that it finished out, should we bring anyone back? But that offense was so good.
Yeah, it wasn't the offense's fault.
Yeah, so why wouldn't you bring back those players on offense, Nate Solder, Deion Lewis? If you can pay them both, bring them back.
I don't know, man. So I'm on the same page as you. I mean, I can understand the Danny Amendola thing because, I mean, you look at who we have at receiver. We have Brandon Cooks. We have Julian Edelman's coming back if he can do any shell of his former self. You get Chris Hogan. You've got, like you said, Kenny Britt. You've got Malcolm Mitchell. I mean, that's five guys right there.
Yeah.
That can all start, or all pretty damn good. I mean, maybe not Britt, but I mean, if he's anything like himself 2 or 3 years ago, that's an element of the offense that you haven't had in a long time. A good 6'3", 6'4", receiver that can extend himself.
Yeah, he's the only guy with size in that group.
That's why I think
Hogan's like 6'2", but he doesn't play like a guy with size. He's a separation.
No, exactly. So, I mean, that's why I think they're keeping him. And then if you draft anybody, or if there's anybody on the practice squad that they do like, Amendola, there's not a lot of space for running back. I feel like we got James White. We can get Burkhead probably fairly easily. I can't see his marking being too big. And then you either keep Gillislee or you trade for another guy. It'd be great to get Deion back, though. You're saying he's asking for, like, what, $5 million a year or something?
That's
$6
million? It? That's so. It?
It's like $6 million, maybe?
Oh, my God, we can pay that.
Yeah, but they don't like paying running backs. We all know that. But Deion's the best we've had in a long time.
Yeah, for real. Deion he's got to be the best since, like, Corey Dillon? Like,
yeah.
Is he the best since Corey Dillon? Probably.
Probably, yeah.
There has been a lot of mediocre running back play, and I know we've gotten great results despite having such mediocre running back play. But we spent a lot of time this fall talking about how much better the offense is when you have a Deion Lewis or a Rex Burkhead out there who's a run-pass threat.
Yeah.
He's both. And if you lose Deion Lewis, now Burkhead's a free agent too, right?
Yeah.
So now we got to pay Burkhead. We paid Burkhead $3.5 million last year. Are you trying to sit here and tell me Deion Lewis isn't worth Rex Burkhead plus $2.5 million?
All right. Deion, they're saying 3 years, 18 is what's being mulled about out there. Now, it could be a lot higher. I don't know. I mean, I don't think anyone's expected Sammy Watkins to get, you know, 16 a year. So
what a fucking joke.
Yeah.
Carlos Hyde's on the running back. I don't even know what the other running backs are that are out
there. Gerard McKinnon, they're saying, is linked to us, but I don't want him. I mean, you might as well just draft somebody.
The Jarrett McKinnon, the kid from Vikings?
Yeah.
Oh, I want Deion Lewis more than him, for sure.
Exactly. That's the thing. There's not a real running back market. It seems like every year our free agents, whoever we have, they like fall into the category of there's not a lot of people at that position for whatever reason. Oh.
I see what you mean. Yeah, they're like the best player in the market because the market's so shallow.
Literally. Like last year, like when we were looking for a cornerback last year, we played Stephon Gilmore $60 million because there were no other cornerbacks. And you look at the cornerback market this year, and it's insane.
It's like, yeah, it's deep.
There's a lot of guys. Like, everyone's worried about us getting a big name. It's like, okay, you know, we need a second cornerback. Malcolm Butler's not coming back. And it's kind of screwing Malcolm Butler because there's so many guys. I mean, Tremaine Johnson, they're saying, is number one. You've already had Aqib Talib and Richard Sherman probably go to perhaps the two most cornerback needy teams, I would assume. Or people that were actually going to spend some money on cornerback were probably the Niners and the Rams at this point because they did spend money on it. So You got Tremaine Johnson. Prince Amukamara is pretty good. You got Dominic Rogers-Carter is actually really good. And we could probably get him for he was getting $6 million this year and asked for his release because he wanted to get off the Giants. We can get him for $4, $5, $6 million probably.
That'd be a good signing.
I think that'd be great. Old. Still, I mean, get a couple and then you're fine. You're going to get one of those few guys. There's a Malcolm Butler still there. I mean,
Breshad Breeland is out there.
Yeah. EJ Gaines is out there. I mean, there's like 10 names. It's like, yeah, I'd sign any of them and just throw them in there to compete.
Yeah. I don't view it as like we need to get a second cornerback in free agency. I don't think I think with Gilmore, Eric Rowe, Jonathan Jones, I think we have a pretty decent cornerback group.
And Cyrus Jones, yeah. I think you need one more guy.
Yeah, one more guy would be nice, and I would love to. A DRC, some guy who's a ball hawk like that and can play man coverage.
Oh, that'd be unbelievable.
Hell yeah, I'd be on board for that. Maurice Claiborne.
Maurice Claiborne, Orlando Scandrick was just released. I mean, just a lot of guys that can be like a solid number two or number three.
Patrick Robinson from the Eagles, he had a great year last year.
Yep, he's a free agent.
Rashawn Melvin from the Colts, former Patriot. Wow, there's a ton of guys out there. Sucks to be Malcolm Butler, kind of.
He's going to get screwed.
He's just got a sour taste in everyone's mouth from the way that the season ended.
Yeah, so there's a bunch of dudes. Kyle Fuller, I mean.
Kyle Fuller, he got tagged. He did? Transition tag. It's like less than the franchise tag, but I think you still have to give up picks if you sign him. It's whatever Charles Clay was on.
Tyrone Maxwell's there. Tremont Williams.
Did you say Byron Maxwell?
Yeah.
Was he still in the league last year?
Apparently.
Wow.
Darrell Revis is technically still out there. I mean, there's some guys.
Imagine signing Darrell Revis. The Rams letting Tremaine Johnson go and replacing him with Marcus Peters and Aqib Talib, two Pro Bowl cornerbacks. It's like, hey, fuck off, man.
Yeah, literally.
See you never.
Literally.
Good for him. He just made, he got franchise tag 2 years in a row. He made like $30 million. Tremaine Johnson did the last two.
Yeah.
See ya. Yeah, yep. He's probably happy about that. So the Pats have a little bit, you just mentioned they could make a couple of reasonable moves and be looking at $28 million in cap room.
Mm-hmm.
They have basically a standard set of draft picks that takes like maybe $5 million of cap space. They like to go into the season with about the same amount. So they have $20 million that they can use.
Yeah.
And should use, because let's be honest, this team's championship window is tied to Tom Brady, and he's going to be 41.
Yeah, it's still closing. It's constantly closing.
It's time to go all in, much like they did last offseason when they traded for Brandon Cooks and signed Stephon Gilmore and the whole deal.
Yeah, the whole thing, people are talking. I've heard the, you know, flutters of, oh, trade Brandon Cooks. If you can get a second rounder out of him, that's good. It's like, what are you talking about? We spent a first on the guy, and he had a 1,000-yard season, and that makes him less attractive to other people?
I know, right? Well, he is on a his contract is in his final season, and this is it's like $9 million this year versus when we acquired him last year. He's got 2 years left on his deal. He's got $2 million and then $9 million. So it is a different product they're getting, but he's 24. There's no way he's not going to get better. I know how frustrating he was this year at times by seeing how limited he actually is as a player, but I just feel like he should be able to get better.
Oh, yeah.
Not include him
another year. Game. Another year with Brady, I think. I mean, he had a good statistical season. I think they were still figuring out how to use the guy.
Yeah. And he had drops, too.
Yeah.
I think another year in the program and he should get better, but you look at his stats and he is remarkably consistent with the stats that he's put up in his career. He's got, I'm pulling it up right now, 1138. Then 1173, and then 1082. Those are his yardage totals from the last 3 years.
I know. I mean, that's pretty fucking good.
Like, right there. 9 touchdowns, 8 touchdowns, 7 touchdowns.
Yeah.
He's so consistent that it makes you look at it like, well, I don't think he's going to improve, but he's 24.
Yeah. And, I mean, him having someone like Amendola now on the – or, I'm sorry, Edelman on the other side really opens things up for him because Edelman's that compliment for him where we talked about, you know, last season – Edelman's the guy that can do the hard yards over the middle that Cooks doesn't like doing.
Yeah, well, so, Amendola was doing that.
Yeah, but I mean, obviously not to the degree that Edelman was.
We're going to keep fighting about Amendola.
Amendola's good, but I mean, if I...
Edelman's better, I'll give you that.
Edelman's way better. He is way, way better.
Yeah, he's better.
Like, if we signed Amendola back, you couldn't have signed him back for more than $4 million because then he's making more than Edelman. And it would have to be very, very incentivized contract.
Sure. Yeah. Something like,
you know, reach so many yards. We reach the playoffs. We reach the Super Bowl. You play this many snaps.
I think it should be tied to how, if he's active for how many games. If you're active for more than 10 games, that's a health thing. Because percentage snaps, I don't view it as a health thing for him. Not in the same way. But,
Yeah, so the Patriots, what other needs do they have? The D-end is probably our biggest.
D-end, if Solder leaves, tackle becomes the biggest.
Right, if Solder leaves, tackle becomes the biggest. Besides that, offense is pretty much set. I think they add a tight end in the draft.
I think you need, if you lose Deion Lewis and Rex Burkhead.
Yeah, well, you can add that in the draft.
Yeah, but I want a two-way threat. I don't want it's Gillislee on running downs and James White on passing downs. I want a guy who's a two-way threat, and if you're gonna, I don't know if you can draft a two-way threat where we're gonna be drafting a running back. But you look back at Kareem Hunt last year; he was a third-round pick. He was a consummate two-way threat at running back. So maybe I'm full of shit.
You just proved your own point wrong. So there you go. Yep.
So running back, left tackle, defensive end, number two cornerback, inside linebacker. Those are the big ones.
Yeah.
And we can re-sign people
and linebacker
all of those positions. That's what I said, inside linebacker.
You said inside. Okay. Missed that, yeah.
Yeah, we can re-sign people. We could re-sign Solder and Deion Lewis, but that would be it for us.
Right.
Inside linebacker, I expect we'll probably sign a veteran and draft somebody.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe the same thing at edge rusher.
Yeah.
Cornerback, it's probably one or the other. We'll either sign somebody or we'll draft somebody. And, tackle and running back, it all depends on what happens with Solder and Deion Lewis.
Mm-hmm.
I don't really know. If you could sign one player, who is it? Testing.
Probably Solder.
Solder, I think so too. As much as I love Deion.
Well, the thing is, how successful is Deion Lewis going to be if Nate Solder's not there? I mean, for Nate Solder, what we're talking about tackle, he is one of the top run-blocking tackles.
Yeah.
And he was rated, PFF rated him like top five.
Oh, really?
He's like, well, think about it. Think of all the runs. Like, he bulldozes people.
Yeah.
You know?
He does.
You put him and Gronk next to each other, they're insane. Pass blocking, yeah, he has his issues here and there, but run blocking, he is definitely one of the better run blocking tackles, for sure. Mm. So, if we don't have him and you throw somebody else in there, well, is Deion going to get those holes that he needs to be as effective? I don't know. And can you replace that easily? I mean, you never want to go into a season with an unsure tackle spot.
Yeah, especially not with a 40-year-old quarterback.
Exactly. That's like number one no-no. Yeah. So.
Okay. Well, that answers that question. The the Pats aren't going to be that big of players in free agency. It's mostly about if we re-sign our guys. There's just not that much to say.
Yeah.
Pretty much a waiting game. We're in the legal tampering period right now, which is one of my favorite phrases in sports.
Yeah.
Legal tampering.
Yeah.
It's such an oxymoron.
Yeah.
It's incredible. But I love that they couldn't stop tampering so much that they're like, fuck it, just do it legally for two days beforehand.
Mm-hmm.
There's been a lot of like veteran cuts, which for some reason always surprise us. Even though every year it happens, you see 29-year-old guys who are like 2 years into a big extension.
Mm-hmm.
They get cut. DeMarco Murray, Dominican Sue, I mentioned some guys that come to the market a little bit later. DeMarco Murray is not a bad guy to pick up. He played fine.
No, I mean, if we lose Lewis, like if we can get DeMarco Murray for half the price as Lewis.
What? Do you think that would be the case?
They're saying Lewis is going to be the top paid guy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
DeMarco Murray's a good player, and he catches the ball, too.
They're saying that it's Deion Lewis time. Everyone wants him.
Yeah, I'm seeing Malcolm Butler as the highest-rated cornerback on the open market. So it's like other people see the Patriots players maybe more highly valued than the Patriots do.
Well, that's the thing.
Yeah.
I saw Trubane Johnson might be the highest, but yeah.
They're like neck and neck.
Right. So
depends which type of corner you want.
I think Malcolm will do okay. I don't think he'll do as good as he would have if he was out there last year or something like that, but he'll still get paid. But yeah, no, dude, DeMarco Murray's not – no one's even talking about DeMarco Murray.
Yeah. How is he going that under the radar?
Because he's old.
Like the most, he's not even that old. He's like 29.
Okay.
28 maybe. I think he was in the 2012 draft, right?
I mean, I would love him on the Pats.
He's 30. Shit, he is 30. 2011. All right, well, I would love him, too. He still looks like... Look, the reason they cut him is because they have Derrick Henry, and they need to get him on the field.
Yeah.
But Derrick Henry couldn't beat out DeMarco Murray, otherwise he would have already been on the field.
Well, he didn't have a great year last year.
DeMarco?
No, he had 650 yards.
He was hurt. Look how many...
Six TDs. 15 games.
15 games. Shit.
Yeah.
God dang.
3.6 yards a carry. Well, the year before, he had 1,300 yards. Yeah. So, I wouldn't mind him as a backup plan if he falls into that category money-wise.
Some of the other things that happened, Case Keenum went to the Broncos. They needed...
Did he go? He went there?
Well, it's legal tampering, but yeah, he's reported to be going to Denver.
Yeah. Sam Bradford just went to the Cardinals. 1 year, 20 mil.
Oh my God, that dude has made so much money for being...
Mediocre.
Below average.
Yeah. They're saying that Teddy Bridgewater is going to the Jets.
Oh, yeah. Well, wherever Kirk didn't go, Teddy was...
Yeah.
Okay. Wow, that stinks. Now I can't root for Teddy Bridgewater?
Well, it's not... They have to trade for him, I think.
No, he's a free agent.
Is he a free agent?
Yeah. 4 years in the league.
I feel like this Kirk Cousins thing is going to bite the Vikings right in the ass.
I don't think so.
It's like you had...
I was wondering about that because they got him for 3 years... $86 million, which is like 29 a year, basically, which is fine. But I was looking at it like Kirk Cousins could get a 5-year deal. He can pretty much name his own price at this point. 28, quarterback in his prime on the open market, doesn't happen. Hasn't happened in a decade.
True.
So there's no reason he couldn't get an Andrew Luck type deal where he gets 5 or 6 years. So it's like, why did he want to do just a 3-year? Do you think it's because he wants to get on the market again?
Probably.
Get an extension, so he's not locked into 29 a year for 6 years. He gets 29 a year for 3 years, and then maybe gets 35 a year for the following 3 years. Maybe.
Maybe. Kind of sounds like it.
Or, but the problem with that is you could get, let's say he got $30 million a year over 5 years, just to make it nice even numbers. $150 million. Say he gets $110 million guaranteed. That's $110 million guaranteed. He's getting less than that right now. So would you want to lock that in? When you don't know if you're going to get injured, you're going to have head injuries, whatever the deal could possibly be. Or do you want to try to get to the open market again? He's shown over the last couple of years playing on the franchise tag that he wants to get on the open market.
Yeah.
And then does he look at the Vikings team and go, look, Linval Joseph's pretty old. Xavier Rhodes in 3 years is not going to be the same player he is right now. Are some of these guys that make this team championship caliber, are they going to be aging? And then when I hit 31 years old, I don't want to be on this team.
Could happen.
And then he's like, well, then I could jump ship to whoever the next team is, the Lions or the Rams or whatever.
Yeah. The only thing I'm thinking is that, the Vikings made it to the NFC Championship team of the game.
Yeah, and got destroyed.
I know that, but it's like basically they're saying he's a Super Bowl or bust candidate. The guy's only played in the playoffs once. Have you seen him under pressure?
Yeah.
I don't really like what I see, personally.
I think he plays well under like physical pressure, like under blitzes. Like
I don't know about that. There was a couple games I saw last year where they were literally just blitzing the house on him, and he was just playing look awful.
That offensive line completely fell apart. They were so injured.
True.
Trent Williams, Brandon Scherff. Remember that right tackle was playing on two sprained ankles, Morgan Moses? Two sprained ankles, and he was still out there.
That's insane. That sucks.
I know, right? They couldn't do shit up front.
Yeah. So a lot of people are also pissed that the Patriots didn't get Richard Sherman based on his deal.
Another guy I didn't want.
I would have taken him, but I mean...
Talk about a personality to try to fit into the Patriot way. Like, what?
Yeah.
That dude, he does his own thing all the time.
The thing is about it, so he got a deal, you know, it looked like he got a big deal, but it's really all very incentive-based. And the thing I'm wondering is, so if you have an incentive-based deal, say you sign a guy for $10 million, but it's only $2 million guaranteed, right? Obviously, that $10 million still counts against the cap, right?
I don't think it counts against the cap until they've reached the incentive.
But you had, so you have to keep that money open for them.
Oh, actually, there's a thing that's...
you know what I mean? It's like if you have $10 million in cap space left, you sign a guy for $10 million, but it's only $1 million guaranteed and everything else is incentive-based. You can't sign somebody else.
Yeah, you have to account for that.
Right, okay.
But one of the things that happens is this thing called not likely to be earned incentives.
Okay.
It's like it's got one of those long acronyms that doesn't make any sense. I don't think they use one. This was one of the things we did with Amendola a whole bunch. Was we gave him a lot of not likely to be earned incentives, which would be like you'll get 50 catches or you'll have 700 yards or whatever. And those actually get tacked onto the cap the following year. So if you reach those incentives in 2016, they go on the 2017 cap.
Huh. It's kind of funny.
That's a common thing that's I've seen the Patriots do a whole bunch, and I would imagine some of those other incentives that other teams use fall under that category as well.
That is interesting.
But stuff like what did Gronk have this year? He had playing time incentives, and he had a couple other incentives. I can't remember. But his, I'm pretty sure, went on that year's cap. So it just depends on the contract. But yeah, Richard Sherman coming off two Achilles injuries, one of them being a ruptured Achilles.
Yeah.
At whatever age he
30.
Is.
30. That's tough.
Yeah. It's like, how big a role did the doctors have in that signing? They were like, I guess he'll be okay.
Yeah.
One of the incentives is a $2 million incentive that he is healthy to be a full go at the start of training camp.
Wow.
That's a $2 million physical he's going to take.
Yeah.
Could you imagine going into the doctor's office having $2 million on the results?
Yeah, on the line right there. That's crazy.
So yeah, Sherman's off the market. He went pretty fast. I wonder how much of that has to do with the fact that those guys that got cut before free agency opened, that they were the only people out there. So teams are like, fuck it, if I can solve it right now, I'm going to solve it right now.
100%. And he's got the name.
Yeah, that too.
He's got the all-pros. So that they know him, right.
Yeah, remember the Seahawks 49ers rivalry? That was one of the best rivalries. And then Kaepernick sucked, and everyone got old, and Harbaugh decided to go back to college.
The 49ers basically booted him out.
Oh yeah, they chose the GM over Harbaugh, right?
Yeah, something like
that. Well, Harbaugh is so unstable. I don't know how you could just commit to him long term. Like it's a ticking time bomb until he leaves Michigan. It's gonna happen.
Yeah,
has to happen. He's got that like. I don't know. Maybe he found that Nick Saban role because Nick Saban used to be that way, and he's been with Alabama for like 12 years.
Mm-hmm.
10 years, maybe.
They're also saying Allen Robinson Bears for roughly 3 years, $42 million.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Whoa. He got 14 a year?
Roughly. That's what they're saying.
God dang. The Bears have, they had Cameron Meredith, who went down at the beginning of last season. They drafted Kevin White. Remember him in the top 10, the kid from West Virginia, who's just never been on the field, basically?
Mm-hmm.
He He's another big receiver. Who knows if he'll be able to get on the team this year. And then I feel like they had another receiver that I was thinking of Alshon Jeffrey. Obviously, he's gone.
Yep.
So good for them. They got somebody who can help out Trubisky, even though Allen Robinson's a jump ball player. Trubisky is not a jump ball quarterback. Trubisky's more like a West Coast quarterback, mobile, pre-snap reads, that type of guy. But it never hurts to have a dude you could just throw it up to whenever you feel like it and can help you out sometimes.
Yeah.
That's huge money, though. Guy coming off an injury who had one good season.
Yeah, and then the Jags just re-signed Marquise Lee for 4 years, $38 million.
That is like the exact same deal Allen Hurns got.
Right?
Almost the exact same deal. But and I was a much bigger Marquise Lee fan.
So here's a question for you. If you can get any free agent on the market that makes sense, not currently on the Patriots or not a Patriots player, who would you take? Who would you go for?
I'm not that versed who's out there right now, but you know, you see Sheldon Richardson, you're like, I don't want that cancer. That dude seems to have the worst attitude practically. Same thing with Muhammad Wilkerson, who got cut. We didn't even mention that.
I know, right?
There's something to be said about Jimmy Graham. Imagine that.
I know, right?
If we had Gronk and Jimmy Graham on the same team, that would be...
No one would know what to do.
Joke. That would be a total joke.
And he's only going around $6-7 million, they're saying.
What?
That's doable. You get Solder and Graham and then just spend all your picks on defense, literally.
Yeah, imagine that. Tyler Eifert's a free agent too, if only he could stay healthy. He was one heck of a player when he on the field.
That's true. Yeah, he's going so underrated.
It seems pretty weak out there for some reason. This you know, it had Kirk Cousins in this draft, at this free agency class, but it doesn't, I don't know, there's not that much depth to it. Carlos Hyde's a real good player. I think he's underrated because people just haven't seen him because he's been wallowing in San Francisco. And Tremaine Johnson, if we had another 6 foot, 2 inch cornerback who can play press man coverage, you put those two guys out there. Hello.
Yeah.
That's pretty nice. Although we do have Rowe, who's got some good length. Kyle Fuller's a good cornerback. Yeah, I think I'd got to go with Jimmy Graham. What do you think?
It's pretty good. Yeah, I'd be either Jimmy Graham. I like DRC, man. I think he'd be a cheap, great option.
Oh, so you're not talking about if money's not a factor?
No.
Oh, okay. Yeah, guys that we could target and get on a
like legitimately field. Get.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. DRC.
I mean, we could legitimately get Jimmy Graham though.
Yeah, apparently. Mm-hmm. If he's going for that cheap.
Yeah, they're saying
shit. We get him
6 or 7. That'd be insane.
That'd be unbelievable. I'd be so happy with that.
Would you take him over Dion for the same money?
Probably, yeah. Yeah, I think I would.
So that's where maybe the Patriots are thinking.
Oh, imagine that. But why do we still have Dwayne Allen?
I don't know why we still have Dwayne Allen.
I think that they're just waiting. But,
that moment. Money, well, that's the thing. If they have a chance to get someone they need, they'll cut him. But if not, they'll ride it out and cut him later. See who they get in the draft type of thing. I think they could trade him.
No, no one's going to trade for him on $7 million a year. Get the fuck out of here.
No, Dwayne Allen? You don't think we can get like
trading for that?
You don't think we can get like a fifth rounder?
Nope. No way. Everyone's going to see right through it. We call him up. You go, hey, we got Dwayne Allen on the block. And they go, why don't you cut him?
Yeah.
And we're going to go, no, we want to keep him, but we'll trade him to you. And they go, fuck off. You're going to cut him. We know.
Well, Talib, the Broncos are going to outright cut him. And they traded him.
That's a good point. Same thing, I guess not with John.
They're saying they might have cut him. They were saying
cut a guy after you franchise tag him? I guess you could. I don't see why not.
Oh, that's true. They franchise him. Then I don't know.
This is about to be a pretty interesting couple weeks. We got free agency starts in a day. That's going to go for Pats. 10 start slow and then pick up some pieces. There's always seems to be random guys that we get, like Lawrence Guy. No pun intended on the guy thing.
Yeah.
He people like that who turn out to be impact players that just like we pick up a week or two into it and it seems like an afterthought.
And it ends up being a great pick.
Yeah, and then he turned out to be starting caliber defensive tackle.
So I think we did that with McClellan a couple years ago too.
McClellan sucks though.
McClellan sucks.
I'm not ready to say he sucks, but he's not.
He sucks.
He's not that good.
Get rid of him or trade him or get rid of him. They should also get rid of Jordan Richards.
Jordan Richards should be gone.
I don't know how he's even still on the team.
We've got like half of our special teams players are free agents. Nate Ebner, I think Slater might be.
Slater, yeah.
We just re-signed Brandon King, but he was.
If you get rid of Jordan Richards for...
They're not going to get rid of Jordan Richards until Nate Ebner's re-signed.
You save $1 million in cap.
Not until Nate Ebner's re-signed, I don't think.
Why haven't they re-signed Slater?
I don't know. It's like, do you really think Slater's going to leave? I don't think he's going to leave.
Well, why haven't they signed him?
That's the question.
We thought the same thing. I didn't think Danny would be leaving. He's gone.
Yeah, exactly.
He's legit gone.
And he seemed like...
He said he wanted to come back.
Consummate chemistry
player. I can only imagine what the Dolphins offered him, because if there's no way... They had to offer him something pretty good, because I can't see why he would have left the Patriots so quickly.
Yeah. Maybe he is playing serious hardball during the tampering period, and he's like, look, I'm going to the Dolphins. Put it out there. He tells his agent to put it out there, and then he gets a call from
2 years, $12 million.
Whoa. Good for you, Danny. Good for you. He got 2 years?
8.25 guaranteed.
Wow. Yes.
That's why he didn't come back.
That's why he didn't come back. We're not going to pay him that.
So there you go.
Good for him.
That's
the
Dolphins
crazy. All over the place.
Dude, there's no way he's worth that.
We're going to trade him. We're going to give Amendola $12 million over 2 years.
That's a stupid contract for them. He's not worth that. No, he's not.
I know he's not.
there's no way. He's more than Amendola. That's more than Edelman. That's $2 million.
Edelman's on a team-friendly contract.
He is. But still, you can't pay Amendola more than Edelman.
Well, Amendola is no longer on the Patriots.
I know, but you couldn't have paid him more. If they were like, oh, you want to do a $6 million deal? No, thank you.
On the Patriots, they couldn't have.
No. But
is he worth $6 million? Probably not.
Remember what we gave him? We gave him, when he signed here, what was it, a five-year $35 million or six-year $35
million? Five.
So it was $7 million a year, and he took a pay cut 4 years in a row or something.
Three in a row.
Because it wasn't worth it.
Yeah, because he had a different role here than he's going to have there. Look, I don't like fighting with you about Amendola. I think he's a solid player, and if Paul Richardson is going to have one okay season with the Seahawks and then go to Washington for $8 million a year, I don't see any reason Danny Amendola is not worth six a year.
I don't know. I mean, I don't.
Who makes more of an impact on the team, Paul Richardson or Danny Amendola?
I have no idea.
Yeah, exactly. So they might be worth very similar amounts.
The Paul Richardson thing is a joke.
It is a joke. How do the Redskins cut DeSean Jackson and then sign a worse replacement 2 years later for more money?
No. But where's DeSean Jackson?
He's in Tampa. But Paul Richardson had one okay year.
Yeah.
And they want him to play the DeSean Jackson, which he created, and you got rid of him. I'm not saying that was a bad move to get rid of DeSean Jackson. What I'm saying is it's a terrible move to get a knockoff version when you had the real thing for more money.
Yeah.
Maybe it's not more like after the...
Yeah.
It's not a shit signing.
It was retarded.
The Seahawks are completely different. Totally different. Jimmy Graham's gone. Paul Richards gone.
They like don't have a team.
Gone. Richard Sherman's gone.
They legit don't have a team. Chancellor.
It's mayhem up there, and no one's talking about it. How is nobody bringing this up? This is the breakup of one of the great defenses of all time.
No, if this was the Patriots, it would be all over frontline news. It'd be everywhere.
And any of you out there who take exception to me saying it's one of the best defenses of all time, in the salary cap era, they led the league in points against 3 years in a row and came in second the fourth year.
Never happened.
Including a Super Bowl championship and then another Super Bowl appearance. Made the playoffs every year. That is a all-time great defense. They probably have Hall of Famers at all three levels.
Yeah.
Earl Thomas, Richard Sherman, Bobby Wagner, Michael Bennett.
I think Michael Bennett?
I don't know. Michael Bennett's right on the edge. I think Bobby Wagner is going to play a long-ass time and he'll probably wind up there. I think Earl Thomas is hands down Hall of Fame.
Sherman is. From, yeah.
But... Yeah, the phenomenal defense, and it's being blown up in front of our eyes. And for whatever reason, maybe it's the fact that they're in Seattle, maybe it's the fact that they had a down season last year. I don't hear about it.
No.
It doesn't come up.
It's like chaos. They don't have anyone to fill all those people in.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be surprised if Earl Thomas left, too, if they traded him.
He wants to leave. Remember what he said to Jason Garrett?
Especially after all of them are gone now.
How does Camp Chancellor intend to come back from a neck injury of that nature and play his position?
I don't know. I don't think he will. Well, alrighty. What else? We got anything else? Or
no, that's pretty much it. I mean, we're going to play the waiting game on free agency, see what happens. We'll be back in the future to talk about what the Pats need in the draft after we have some more clarity about what they're going to do in
free
agency.
What we actually did, yep.
I'll talk about some of the draft prospects when I get more into it for this season. All I'm saying is Sam Darnold, Josh Rosen, both busts. Stay away from
them. Yeah.
That's pretty much it. That's all I got.
Alrighty.
All right. We'll talk to y'all soon.
Absolutely. Adios.
See ya.